Take your Bibles this morning and let's start in the second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is one of those messages that came as a result of a conversation I had with a gentleman, and it just brought to light something that is ongoing in our society and in our churches and in our homes that it is easy to get caught up into, and we just need to stop. We just need to stop. And so I went to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and given the conversation, it was with another older preacher, given the conversation and the text, I gave it a title. And then after I studied the text, I'm halfway through my message, and I'm working through things, and I put a line in there, and I said, and I'd already saved it. You save a document, you give it. I save it by the text, and I save it by the title. So if 10 years from now you go, hey, Pastor, you preached a message on, if you can give me a name and the title, I can find that. You can give me the date, I can find that. So I give it a title, and I'd already given it a title. I thought, oh, man, this would be a great title for this message. And so I had to go back and change it and change the files. It was just a pain. It's a pain to do that. Here's the title. The first title I gave it was this: Public Venting and Vendettas. Now that sounds interesting. But my second title is this: It's Time to Take Out the Trash. It's time to take out the trash. I like that one better. Time to take out the trash. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with you, but present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. Now, some. So right away, Paul is identifying there's something going on. Paul deals with problems. First and Second Corinthians, I mean, he's nailing problems. And so here, there's somebody that is causing a problem. That's not everybody, but somebody is. And he identifies that, bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So there's a group of folks in this church that Paul's not here. They've not talked to Paul. But word has gotten back to Paul that these folks are talking, they're talking trash against them. And Paul says, listen, there are some, there's some people which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So they are accusing Paul of walking in the flesh. They have made an accusation against him. Paul's going to stand up for his honor. And so he said, verse 3, everybody walks in the flesh. I mean, we're human, right? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, these three verses, 4, 5, and 6, may seem to be random until you understand that there's a problem. People are making an accusation, and he's providing some wisdom and insight on how they should be operating. So he says to them, our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of God, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, which should cause us, verse 5, to casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Paul is looking at these guys and that are making this accusation. Paul is walking in the flesh, and we need to rein him in. And they're not talking to Paul. They're talking to everybody else. And Paul says, hey, listen, you guys need to rein it in. You need to cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What is that? What they were doing? my popular phrase, it's just not biblical. It's not right. And they should not have been, but they were. And, verse 6, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do we look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. You call yourself a Christian? Follow Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, God's hand obviously on the Apostle Paul, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Though I may seem as if I would terrify you by letters. Paul could write a letter, could he not? For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Paul, don't you like a... There's a difference, I don't know if you know this, but there is a difference between the pulpit ministry and the personal one-on-one ministry. Paul's ministry in the pulpit was powerful. Paul's ministry with the pen was powerful. But when he was one-on-one, he was a nice guy. Sometimes you look at the preacher and say, man, I'd never talk to a pastor. Just Sunday morning, you ever heard of him? Man, he's railing on people, pounding on the pulpit, raising his voice. I'm not going to talk to him. Listen, in my home, I'm not that way. I don't get to Mrs. Bishop and beat on the pulpit and raise my voice and tell her, make the toast. We're quiet, we're peaceable. And so they looked at Paul and their accusation, again, they're not talking to Paul, they're talking to everybody else. That Paul, he's messed up. You know, he's two-faced. In the pulpit and by letter, he's a tornado. But one-on-one, he's a kitten. He's a pussycat. He's too nice of a guy. That's just good human nature. It's good quality for a preacher to be. Anyways, verse 11. Let such an one think this, that such as we were in word by letters when we were absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we not... Paul says in verse 12, I'm not comparing myself to you. I'm trying to be biblical. We dare not make ourselves of the number. We're not going to be like you. That compare ourselves with some or that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What are these people doing? They say, well, we would never do. I mean, we are absolutely consistent. We are the same all the time. And so they compare themselves to someone else rather than comparing themselves to God. Verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready by our hand, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Time to take out trash. So, what was the problem of what they were doing? What in verse 5 and 6, when Paul says, here's what you're doing, and here's what you need to do, what trash were they involved in that they needed to take out? What needed to get taken care of? Now let's talk about casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. Casting down is to look up the meaning. Get your Webster's 1828 dictionary out, which is where I go. It means to throw something down as a piece of trash. That's what it means. And that's why that's where the title came from, taking out the trash, because that's what it is. every high thing, imaginations. Imaginations are mental images, not factual. Something that you're thinking, it's just not fact. And I said, that's just not true. You can say it. You can believe it, but it doesn't make it true. And so my standing joke is, Pastor, is that true? I saw it on Facebook. It must be true, right? Facebook is not a good news source. I hope you're not going to Facebook for your news source. Of course, sometimes Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, they're not good news sources either. They're opinion-oriented. Just be careful. Every high thing. What are those high things? Thoughts, positions, practices, actions, reactions. That exalteth itself. What is that? Self-thoughts or self-teaching that make you feel like you can be in the judge's seat and that you're superior to someone else and their trouble going on. And again, when I sit down with someone and talk to them, I want to make sure that I am, man, I'm not your judge. I'm just a witness. It's just what I see. I'm not here to judge you. God is your judge. I'm here to help you. But where are we today? It has become socially acceptable, but I'll say not biblically acceptable, to take it to Facebook. Put it out there in the world for everybody to see. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I don't think that I'll come back to 2 Corinthians just for time's sake. Matthew chapter 18. Here's a song. Here's a great song. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Isn't that a good thing? But here's the 2025 version of that song. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Facebook. Tell it to Facebook. Tell it to the neighbor. Tell it to telephone. It used to be telephone. I mean, before Facebook, there was a telephone, and people get on the telephone and they would talk. And I grew up in the time of party lines, where you and your three neighbors were all on the same line, and you'd hear the phone ring once, and you knew it wasn't your ring; it was a neighbor's. And every once in a while, your phone would ring, and you'd pick it up, and you'd be talking to somebody, and you'd hear a click in the background. Well, you knew you only had one phone, but you knew the neighbor was listening in on your trash, on your business. And you just say, oh, hang up the phone. Now, my dad would sing, God's watching you, or Jesus loves me, this I know. And my dad would sing to him. But people, man, they just like to get involved in the trash, and they always have. It used to be telephone. Now it's social media. Text messaging, it's just not good doctrine. It's just not. Tell it to Facebook alone. Tell it to Jesus alone. What is Matthew chapter 18? Matthew chapter 18 is about trespass. Matthew chapter 18, let's go down to the paragraph at verse 15. Moreover, if, and it doesn't always happen, but if it does, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Man, we should read that. Let's read that verse together. Are you with me? We're in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Reading with me, ready? Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't get on telephone. Don't get on email. Don't get on social media. Don't put it out there for the world to see. Don't go to your friends and family. Tell it to them. Why? If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee, now my dad loves this verse, this passage, and he said, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I can just tell you over the years, my dad, who is he is a fighter, he is absolutely a force to be reckoned with. If he's got a problem, he's going to take it to you alone. And if it can't be resolved, he's just going to forgive you. He just is. He's just going to forgive you. But if he will not hear thee, then take it. Take with thee one or two or more. That's, I'm not doing that. He said, I can. Biblically, I can. that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established, and if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be as a heathen man and a publican. And a lot of things that get brought out into the open that should absolutely be forgiven. Public venting, public vendettas. The vendetta is the prolonged series of retaliation. Retaliatory, vengeful, or hostile acts or exchange. And what it does is it wrecks us because it makes us become critical, angry, vengeful, and nobody wants to be around us. People run the opposite direction when they see you coming. You're thinking of somebody right now. When you see them walk in the door, you run out the other door. Just so because they're just angry all the time. Not good to be around. Vendetta. Vendetta, the word, we borrowed it from Britain, from the English, 19th century. It comes from feuds between clans or families resulting in bloodshed. Vendetta becoming so bad that that's where we get the word blood feud from. You know, the Hatfields and McCoy kind of thing. They're killing one another. I'm reminded of a Baptist preacher. He had gone out to Mormon country. And he was winning people to Christ. You know, he started a Baptist church. And the Mormon church in the area sent two Mormon missionaries over to him. It was a Monday. They came into his office and they said, he was a retired Marine, and he grew up in West Virginia. I'll just say that. And the two Mormon missionaries said to him, we don't want you in this town. And leave. You know, in this town, buildings burned down for no unknown reason. And you should be careful where you step. Retired Marine looked at him, shook his head. Went across town, went into the Mormon church, got the big wig in there, not the two low-level operatives, and walked in the guy's office and said, hey, two of your missionaries just came over and told me they were going to burn my church building down. Asked me where I was from. He said, I don't know where you're from, but I'll tell you where I'm from. We burn one another's buildings down. West Virginia, right? He said, we burn one another's buildings down. He said, looking at your building here, you have a whole lot more to lose than I do. We just like to be angry. We just like to be angry. Vendetta, blood feuds, English. The English got that word from the Latin. Comes from vindicta. Family tree, avenge, revenge, vengeful, vindictive. So what does the Bible say? Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Again, we're taking out trash. Rather than taking to Facebook, we're going to take it to the Lord, because that's just biblical. Take to your brother alone. What about when it comes to revenge? I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to make this right. The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, God's. I, God, will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Last week, a Baptist church dismissed their pastor. The deacons called him in and said, you are done. You're absolutely done. Fired him. You know how they fired him? Well, I don't know. I don't know because I wasn't in the meeting. But afterwards, the pastor took to Facebook and he posted it out there for everybody to see. It appears that the church was pro-Trump and he was neutral when it came to politics. And he refused to endorse President Trump. And they didn't think he was Trump enough. And so he went and he called them on Facebook. Those people, those deacons, they have the Trump derangement syndrome. Isn't that dumb? Isn't that crazy? What? So you're going to fire the pastor because he doesn't take your political position? But then the pastor is going to take it to Facebook? What is wrong? They're both wrong. Absolutely. And that's the problem with blood feuds. After a while, why are you guys fighting? I don't know. He said something, I don't remember why we're fighting. But families fight for generations. And nobody has any how to start. I don't know. We just don't get along. Mrs. Bishop and I were in a church service, Baptist church. There's a man sitting in the third row over here. And there was a lady sitting in the second row in the center. It's Sunday morning church. Fella calls out from the third row and he says, "Pastor, would you tell Sister so-and-so that she needs to sit down and know her place?" That pastor looked at Brother so-and-so in the third row. Well, not to be outdone, little Sister so-and-so in the second row halfway in, she stood up and she said, "Pastor, you tell Brother so-and-so that I should say that he should take out his own trash, stay out of my business." And she sat down. And he stood back up. Now he's standing up. "Pastor, this is Sunday morning. You tell her that I said." And then she stood up, and then the pastor said, "You know what? I think you can both hear each other." What should they have done? They should have taken it each to the other alone. Were they taking it before the church? Oh, no. They were using the church as their audience. Long before there was Facebook, they had taken it to Facebook. They wanted everybody to know that they had. Oh, we wonder why God doesn't bless us. Because we need to take out the trash. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul's saying, listen, those things that you're doing, those imaginations, those thoughts of your heart, you've rationalized in your mind that is a good thing to do, but I'm just telling you it's not biblical. Because in the Bible, Christ said, if you got a problem, you take it to your brother alone. When it comes to getting even, I'm sure it'd be nobody in this room. But do you know, we all know somebody that's just got to have the last word, right? They just got to have the last word. And just determine that you're just not going to be that person. It's just not biblical. What is that? Vengeance. I'm going to be heard. You're going to hear me. I've got something to say. And we don't see how that affects everybody else. It's just not biblical. Trespass. Chapter 18, verse 15. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass." Trespass is an interesting word. It means to walk over somebody else's ground. Trespass. You see the song, "No Trespassing"? Don't walk over my ground. That's what that means. And if somebody has a no trespassing sign up, and you walk past that onto their ground, that's a criminal offense. In Virginia, it's a class 1 misdemeanor, 12 months in jail, $2,500 fine. It's a serious offense to walk by one of those signs. So it's trespass. It's a serious offense. It's a crime. Trespass. Now, it could be a minor offense, an inconvenience, could be a serious offense, trespass. It could be a violent or criminal act. And my dad would say, "You can." And my dad would share an event that happened at his church, and it was a fairly large church. And this was, 40 years ago maybe. And so they had a private matter between a father and son. And the father and son did what was biblical. They went to each other and they worked it out, right? But the pastor said, No, this needs to come before the church. So the pastor brought the son up to the church and made him apologize to the church. What an offense against the church. It's against offense against dad. They had the father stand up and say, I forgive you. Everything's good, right? No, it's been 40 years. That boy hasn't been back in church since. He's a good boy. He's a good man. I say, good boy. He's a good man. Loves his family. He'll never go back to church. Why? Because we should be casting down our imaginations and every high thing that has offered itself against the knowledge of God. It seemed like the right thing to do. It seemed like the pastoral thing to do. It's just absolutely not biblical. And Paul says, no. Take out the trash. Stop with the things that you have developed in your mind. It's right for me to flatten his tires. Because, and snow is just incredible. Seriously? I just shoveled out this spot in the apartment parking lot, and you're going to park there? Well, we don't have assigned parking. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shovel out another spot, and I'm shoveling it on top of your car. People do that. Makes the news. I mean, personally, I want pictures, right? Because it's funny. Isn't it funny? It's hilarious what people fight over, as opposed to saying, I'm sorry. Let me help you shovel out the other spot. Or take this. It's a parking spot. It's absolutely a parking spot. So what do you do at Christmas time? People fight over parking spots. I mean, people get out guns and shoot one another. Seriously, over a parking spot. And I go park way out. Mrs. Bishop goes, why are we parking way out here? I said, we're getting our steps in. You get those watches that count your steps, then you try to find the closest parking spot. I'll go find a parking spot way out there. Listen, there is no competition out there. But we don't. We're going to flatten your tires. Then it becomes a trespass. Criminal. We go to jail. Makes the newspaper. And it's not good. It is not good. Proverbs chapter 1 says this. A Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. It's how the book starts out. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Discretion is a really neat word. Discretion. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says this, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And so I share this with everybody who comes into church membership. My dad had a blood feud, a feud with a man in church. Dad had his farm. He was renting out the farm to one of the farmers in the church. Farmer didn't pay the rent. At the end of the year, Dad's out all that money. He's in church. And I can tell you, there were people in the church that said to Dad, go to him. Dad said, I went to him. I said, that's not right. Take somebody with you. Dad said, I'm not doing that. Take it to the church. Dad said, I'm not. My dad. I'm not doing that. He was not doing that. He wasn't. People encouraged him to do that. He didn't. 10 years later, Dad decided that he didn't need the disappointment of not getting rent money. 80 acres. I don't know what the price was back then. We're talking, it's money. It's pretty serious money. 8 years later, he still hasn't rented the farm out. Because he just doesn't want the disappointment. I said to Dad, why aren't you renting the farm out?
Said, I don't need the money.
I said, yeah, but somebody else probably does. They're probably a missionary. You get a letter in, said, hey, we need some money. Yes, do a building project. I said, you can rent out the land. You don't need it. Give it to missions. But don't. It's not good stewardship. Just not good stewardship. And my dad said, pushed me aside. And then he called me up and he said, I'm going to rent the land out. I said, Dad, good for you. Good for you. Who are you going to rent it to? And he named the guy in the church that had cheated him 10 years before. And I just said, Dad, do you think that's a good idea? He cheated you before. And Dad said, oh, that's all forgiven. And this time, I'm going to get the money up front. You don't go on the land until you pay the rent for the year. And I said, well, that's probably a good plan. And so it was a couple of years later. The farmer had a really good year, crop-wise. And he got feeling guilty about that 12 years before when he had cheated Dad. And he went to Dad, and he said, all those years ago, I cheated you, and here's the money. And my dad said, I forgave you of that 12 years ago. And he refused to take the money. Now, those two people are still in the church today. They're still best. Listen, those two are best of friends. What's interesting about it, that farmer was one of my best friends growing up in high school. I know him. I see him. But because Dad deferred his anger, did he have a biblical right to take it before the church? Yeah, he could have. Did he have a biblical right to take somebody with him and go to the brother and say, you fix us or we're going to fix you? Yeah, he could have done that. But his discretion deferred his anger, which turned into forgiveness, which has been a great blessing to me, to two men who are laboring side by side in the church today. And say, preacher, is there a biblical precedent for that? Yeah, sure. Yeah, there is. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Paul working here. And Philippians chapter 4, Paul's talking to a church, Philippi. And they got a good old-fashioned cat fight going on. And so in chapter 4, Paul says, therefore, my dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. It's not a good thing when Paul is addressing your name at the beginning of the letter. Now, at the end, he would say, hey, tell so-and-so I said hey, and this person I said hey, but here he is at the beginning. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. What were they? These two girls were having a feud, and everybody in the church knew it. And Paul knew it, and he's writing them this letter, and he's saying, hey, girls, fix the problem. Stop the fighting. You used to be friends. Not anymore. You used to be co-laborers. Not anymore. You used to work together for the good of the church. Not anymore. And we're just gonna fight. And Paul says, not a good thing. And then, verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, and with Clement also, and with the other fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. And so Paul, yoke fellow is interesting. You look at that verse and you say, who is supposed to help them? So it's just interesting to read on a passage of Scripture, and you look at a word, yoke fellow, comes from a root, or comes from the word Sygos, S-Y-Z-Y-G-O-S. I didn't know that. And so people writing about this verse say, well, this yoke fellow is actually a man named Sygos. I just think that's a real stretch. Who is supposed to help them? Turn back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints which are in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Paul's writing to, what is he saying? He's just writing to all y'all. Yeah, everybody. Everybody's supposed to help them. And you can try to put a name to this and say, well, Paul's talking to one specific man to fix this problem. I think he's talking to everybody to help them fix the problem. Once these girls were ministry partners, but now they are at odds. This happened, and I was involved in this, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. And going back 20, maybe 25 years ago, there was a man. He's a pastor. He's starting a church, and he's starting a church, and he needs help. And so we supported him. And his home church, a good solid church, good solid man, good solid pastor, supported him, sent help to him, sent laborers to him. They knocked on doors for him. They were close enough that they let their children go to their Christian school for free. Isn't that good? And the baby church got people, and finally we were able to stop their support because they were self-sufficient. And then they needed a church building, and they wrote again, and we sent money to help them buy their church building, and they did. And then they needed money for heating and air conditioning, and we sent money to help them, and all other churches, and their home church is right on the forefront of sending them money. And then he became self-sufficient, and he didn't need them anymore. And he, the guy, the young preacher, called for the resignation of his home church, his pastor. Said, that pastor should resign. Because years ago, before I got started, and before he became pastor, he was in a feud with another preacher, and he didn't treat the other preacher right. I'm thinking, and he sent out a letter. He sent out an open letter. Before there was Facebook, there was open letters. He sent out a letter to all the supporting churches, anybody who had ever gave, which was us, which is why I received one, and said, listen, this pastor needs to resign because this and this and this and this and this. And I'm thinking, you hypocrite, because that happened way over here. But you didn't address it way over here. You let him support you, and you took his money, and you took his influence, and you got money from us based on his influence, and you took all this money, and now that you're a top, now that you're a big dog now, now you're going to go way back here and demand a resignation. What is that? That is blatant hypocrisy. And so, say, preacher, what did you do? I wrote him a letter back. That's what I said. Please remove me from your mailing list. I'm not going to get caught up in the drama. I'm not getting in on your blood feud. I'm not going to do vendettas. Listen, preacher, what you're doing is just not biblical. What is he supposed to do? Go to him alone. But instead, he's taking it to the world, sending open letters. Listen, and so Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, listen, it's time to take out the trash. What we think or perceive to be right based on an injury that we have been inflicted upon us, don't do what you think is right. Do what is biblical. Do what God commands. Casting down imaginations, take out the trash. It is absolutely time to take out the trash. Why? Because forgiveness is divine. Matthew chapter 6, for time, I'm just going to read these for you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew chapter 18, the lesson that Christ taught about the guy that had forgiven a huge debt in the millions of dollars. And then that guy went out, when the boss forgave that, he went out and found somebody that had a minor offense and put him in jail for it. And this is what God says about that. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt in the millions of dollars because thou desirest me, just because you asked. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Who owed you a pittance, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay that was due him. So, preacher, what can I do? I'm glad you asked that question. You're a yoke fellow. We're in Philippians chapter 4. First of all, and I have five things. I'm going to do these real fast. First thing, remember the Lord is coming. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. God is coming. And he's going to set everything right. And we want to be right when he comes. So remember, Jesus Christ is coming. And number two, in verse 6, be careful for nothing. Stop worrying about it. Stop worrying. Don't be anxious about the conflict. Ask God to resolve it. Number three, found in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guard your heart and mind with the peace of God. Listen, don't let anybody steal that. Say, well, preacher, they're venting at me on Facebook. Hey, it's a neat thing. Block them. Just eliminate them. Defriend them, defollow them. I don't know what all the terms are. But listen, I don't know anything about Facebook, but man, I can figure out how to do that. I think you can too. Just don't look at it. Unfollow, unfriend, whatever the terms are. Come to me, I'll introduce you to somebody who knows how to do it. And they'll just click, 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 and they'll be gone. Be at peace. Find something, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Find something praiseworthy to think about. I'm thankful for the weather. Pastor, it's raining. Oh, I'm thankful that it's not always going to rain, but it seems like it. Find something to praise God about. And then, lastly, find some other people to hang around who are practicing those things. Don't be around negative people who are going to drag you down. Get around some positive people who love the Lord, who believe in forgiveness, who embrace these principles, and follow God. Why? Because it's time to take out the trash. Listen, trash day for us is Tuesday. Trash goes out to the curb, both at home and at church. And every once in a while, Miss Bishop will call me up and she'll say, do you take trash out of church? The bins are full. Because sometimes I forget to take out the trash. And I just need somebody to remind me to do that. Listen, this is just a reminder. Take out the trash. Time to take it out. You don't have to wait till Tuesday to do it. You take it out today. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Lots more verses, lots more that we could add. It's a great topic. It is inspired by a preacher friend. But it's right where we live. Pastor, I am here, but I am not a Christian. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up, and I'll pray for you. I'm here. I'm not a Christian. I don't know Christ. Okay. Pastor, I'm a Christian, but my heart is heavy because there's somebody in my life that is just dragging me down, and I need your prayer. God would help me to stay focused on Him, His grace, His love, His mercy, His peace, His long-suffering. Preacher, would you pray for me specifically this morning that God would help me? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let me pray for you. Father, I see those hands. I can see those faces. And I know the hurt that comes along with that because I have felt that personally. And I don't know exactly what is going on in their life, but I know that it can lead right up to and include death. And I pray that you would deliver them from the drama, deliver them from the negative voices, deliver them from the powers of Satan, that you would help them not to get involved, to take out the trash and respond biblically, and then surround themselves with people who are uplifting and positive and exhibit your grace. You do a work in the lives of these, your people, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Let's stand to our feet, their heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano is playing, the altar is open. You want a preacher, pray for you, I'll be delighted to do that. You obey us, God's